You are listening to Fanthatrax.
Bastion. Never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
What a piece of junk!
Covering Star Wars vehicles in less than 12 parsecs, this is Start Your Engines.
Don't get technical with me.
Here are your hosts, Paul Naylor and Mark Newbold.
You're listening to Start Your Engines. I'm your co-host, Mark Newbold, and joining me today is...
Paul Naylor.
How you doing, mate?
Well, apart from building up my own name there, I don't... Well, I'm well.
Be doing.
Yes, I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah. How are you, mate?
I'm very well.
Yeah.
Good. We're here to talk about the ghost.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Ghost. I thought there was a ghost.
It's back in our hearts and minds again because it's been appearing in Ahsoka, which is very cool to see in live action again.
Amazing. I mean, we kind of all guessed it was coming from the lead-up to Ahsoka, but nonetheless, seeing it in action has been fantastic, hasn't it?
We've not seen enough of it. We've seen it in the past. We saw it briefly in Rogue One in live action, of course.
True.
We saw it in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
But now to see it a bit more front and centre.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Good point, actually. I'd forgotten that we had previously seen it in live action, although it wasn't really, bam, here it is.
Fleeting.
It was very subtle, wasn't it? What have you thought of the series of Ahsoka?
It was a tricky one, I think. Obviously, a lot riding on it for Filoni because of what it is. And it really is the culmination of a lot of the storylines and plot lines he'd set up, obviously in Rebels, but also a lot of Clone Wars era stuff coming in as well from his sort of tenure on that show.
Yeah.
It's been brilliant to watch. I think the designs have been fantastic. There's been some real sort of thought-provoking stuff. Not mad keen on the fact we've gone to another galaxy. I think I may have mentioned that 1,000 times before. But other than that, I think it's been really well played. I have very much enjoyed it. And also the Rebels characters and the ghosts part in it as well has been very cool.
I've previously enjoyed animated shows such as the Clone Wars and Rebels, but I'm sure it's not just me. Things don't become canon until we actually get them in live action. I know that's not strictly
not the
true.
Case.
It's
yeah,
not the
yeah.
case,
yeah.
because otherwise some of the stuff that appears in the live action shows wouldn't make sense if they weren't already canon.
That's true.
But when you make the World Between Worlds live action, it's way more relevant than if you just see it animated. We live in a time where anything that you can imagine, you can put out there in live action. That wasn't the case when Star Wars first came out. George was very restricted in what he could put out on the screen, which is why we got the special editions 20 years later, because there were things that he wanted to be able to do that he couldn't have done previously. They still screwed up Jabba the Hutt. but the Ghost, fantastic ship, very reminiscent of the Falcon in many ways, I feel, and the Outrider.
Well, I was going to say, we recently did a Shadows of the Empire episode, and it's kind of in that family, isn't it?
You could put those three in a garage together and you could say they were all from the same mindset.
Manufacturer.
She is, as many ships in Star Wars are, manufactured by Corellian Engineering Corporation.
Goodness me, they must be minted.
They must be. How that planet, and again, we saw it recently in Ahsoka.
It was
so cool to see Corellia moved on from when we saw it in Solo, when it really was grimy nuts and bolts, and now you come to the Ahsoka era, you know, a decade and a half further down the timeline, probably longer than that, and to see it looking like it's prospering was cool.
Probably because we saw it in a different time of day as well, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
We saw it in daylight.
And it's probably not exactly the same part of the shipyards, because Corellia's got lots of stuff going on. But...
Well, that's it, you know, there's a Fiat Cinquecento or whatever being built in one part, but then the other end is a Maserati. So
I knew you were going to say Maserati. Why did I know you? I did. The word came to my head before you even said it.
Model and class.
She's a modified VCX-100 light freighter, so she's had a lot of work done to her. She's here a ship. You know, she's the kind of pilot that's going to tweak and change and adjust, and she's got Chopper with her, who's always tinkering away. Great scene, again, going to Ahsoka. Great scene. It's not on the Ghost. It is on the Phantom 2.
Yes.
But seeing Chopper with all his work tools, throwing his arms around like Hulk Hogan, bashing the side of the ship.
Muscle man at the end when he's done the good job.
Totally. It was fantastic. There's so much character in that droid. And knowing Filoni does the voice, he's wonderful. She's a light freighter, like the Falcon. Costs 155,000 credits. Now, she's a big ship. She's a chunky ship. There's some depth to that vehicle. It's not a small ship. Impressive.
If you look at it from the top, it's almost a square.
Yeah.
It is, going back to the Falcon. The Falcon is essentially a circle with a little bit added on. But yeah, it's simplistic in its look, but it just looks like it belongs there. Neither of us have actually opted to purchase the vintage collection.
That's right.
Still not sure whether I should have done or not, but I know a lot of people that will have it, and so I will get a chance to see it up close and personal. But that's going to be one big hunk of plastic.
It really is.
But a nice one.
A gorgeous one. I mean, as we look around the room, I've got the Fantasy Flight Ghost over there.
Yeah.
There's Hot Wheels have done their version of the Ghost.
Yeah.
There's not been, I don't believe, a Jazzwares Ghost yet, but I'm absolutely certain it's coming. Soon. That's the line I'm really...
That'll be the scale I'll get.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really enjoying that line at the moment. So please, Jazzwares, if you're listening, bring that one on. That can't come quick enough.
Technical specifications.
She's 43.9 metres in length, so she's longer than the Falcon. The Falcon's around about 30.
Yeah.
And she's 34.2 metres wide, so she is a big... She's as wide as the Falcon is long, so yeah, she is a bigger vehicle. And she's 14.5 metres in depth, so that is a very deep ship.
Yeah.
She's chunkier than you realise.
Actually, looks quite elegant in space, but...
Very.
But if you just looked at it in isolation, you think, that's going to just drop like a brick.
And when you see it in Ahsoka, when they're hunting for Ahsoka, when she's gone into the World Between Worlds, the yes, scene that you just mentioned,
yeah,
and you see her flying over the water, and you can feel the weight,
the pull.
You can really feel it, can't you?
It's definitely got some weight to it. But what I think comes across in the live action that didn't necessarily come across in the animated series is, would you say it was manoeuvrable? As manoeuvrable as the Falcon?
I think the Falcon, because it's sort of slimmer, the profile's shallower, if you like. She can flip and turn, and I would say that the Falcon is probably more manoeuvrable.
It comes across that way to me.
It's certainly faster, but the Ghost, because its centre of gravity is more like a bus, like a double-decker bus, isn't it? It's got that kind of feel about it.
Maximum atmospheric speed.
It can really move as well, 1,025 kilometres per hour in atmosphere.
Engine specs.
It's got two main engines and two secondary engines.
Hyperdrive system.
It's got a Class 2 hyperdrive and a 14 backup. So Class 2 hyperdrive is pretty fast. Class 14, not so fast. But if you're in a bind and your main hyperdrive goes down, and generally in fiction, in television, if the hyperdrive goes down, it always seems to be all the hyperdrive. They never refer or never defer to the backup hyperdrive. But most ships have a backup hyperdrive. I would love to see that in a live action or Bad Batch or whatever. I'd love to see that employed.
Do you think it would be less performance from it? Do you think it would be a slower?
Way slower. Yeah, but it would get you to, at least it would get you to the nearest planet. I think it's the logic of Phantom Menace when they lose the hyperdrive system and they're able to sort of limp to Tatooine.
It was leaking, didn't they?
I don't know the specific technical details of that, but my head tells me that they would use their backup hyperdrive, because traveling at sublight speeds, you'd get nowhere. It would take days and weeks to travel at sublight speeds. And hyperdrive, obviously, in Star Wars, you can literally travel from, I was going to say, one side of the galaxy, but now you can travel from one galaxy to the other.
Well, especially if you know a very kindly whale.
Wouldn't that be the best way to travel?
Weapons systems.
She's well armed. One dorsal laser cannon turret, one nose laser cannon turret, one Tamanbak MS-2B twin laser cannon, one Tamanbak KX-4 dorsal laser turret, so she can fire forward, fire back, left and right, and two proton torpedo launchers.
Yep.
So when that ship goes out and Hera, as its pilot, knows they're going into some sort of action, there's confidence that it can take care of itself.
But still, why the goggles?
Why the goggles?
I think they're just a bit of a fashion thing, aren't they?
Like somebody said,
they don't serve any purpose.
Not
they?
Really. Like somebody said the other day, she's not flying a B-52 bomber.
Exactly.
It's not World War II.
Exactly.
But it definitely looks cool.
Crew complement.
She's got a ship complement. Initially had the Phantom. That was destroyed. She now has the Phantom 2, which is the vehicle that we see prominently in Ahsoka.
Yep.
Great little ship. She's got one pilot, one co-pilot, one gunner, so you can fly that ship with minimal crew, really.
Yeah.
But there, even there, I mean, okay, you don't always need a gunner, but you certainly, it would appear, need a co-pilot, and I think Hera, for the most part, would use chopper.
Consumables.
Six passengers, so it can carry a certain number of people, and it's got 1 month's consumables, so she can be out there for a while. And I would imagine, being the diligent character that Hera is, she's probably carrying more than a month's consumables, because you don't know, do you?
She's probably got pot noodles galore, hasn't she? You know, that's what you take, pot noodles and smash. Things that you can just pour a bit of water on.
Oh, man. I want pot noodle to sponsor Start Your Engines now.
Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Fanta Tracks.
So the Ghost has other systems. She has an external loudspeaker, which I do believe we see employed in Rebels.
Major engagements.
And she's been present for many, many battles. She was on the mission to Lando Calrissian's farm. She was there for the Siege of Lothal. She was at the heist at the Astral Belt gas refinery. Maul's capture of the Ghost crew. She's been involved in lots of stuff. The Battle of Atalon, of course. The Battle of Scarif, which we see in Rogue One. Yeah. The Battle of Endor. She was there for Return of the Jedi, even though we've not seen it yet. But hey, maybe there's a special edition coming. She was there for the Battle of Jakku from Aftermath and the Battle of Exegol from Rise of Skywalker. So that vehicle... arguably is one of the legendary ships.
It's almost as important as the Millennium Falcon, isn't it? Well, it's as important as the Millennium Falcon.
Think back to your comment about seeing it in live action makes it feel more real, yeah, in the sense that it kind of solidifies it in the canon.
I think so.
Even though, of course, it's in the canon, but a wonderful byproduct of that is, because you've now seen the Ghost in live action, and we know this history that's here right now, that by association, if you like, all the stuff that you saw in Rebels feels more grounded, doesn't it?
It does. That's the beauty of once something becomes live action, even though it's the path to it, the history behind it is animated, to me it becomes more relevant.
Yeah.
So I can go back and watch Rebels and Clone Wars and imagine it as live action,
yeah,
whereas before it was just animation to me.
It's a bit like now we've got that Clone Wars era of Anakin in live action with Hayden.
Which is amazing to see.
Which kind of, I'm sure, I've not been to the Wikipedia page for Anakin since then,
yeah,
but I'm almost certain that if there was an animated, which it would have been, from the Clone Wars version of Anakin visualised, that has now been replaced with the photograph of Hayden from Ahsoka.
Yes. I mean, just to see him with that sort of mid-length sort of haircut, yeah, with his armour, with his pauldron on his, yeah, shoulder, walking around, giving one of 20 lessons, yes, to Ahsoka was brilliant. I mean, and it was so well done as well, the way that, you know, he says you're going to come up against people like Count Dooku and Asajj Ventress, and you think, well, hang on, that was years ago. Oh, okay.
He recorded it during
the Clone Wars. It's a long time ago.
And again, you say he mentions Grievous, he mentions, yeah, Dooku, then he mentions Asajj Ventress,
but
and again,
you've got the possibility now, of course, of Ahsoka handing over these 20 data things to Luke, who we know she's met because of what we've seen in The Mandalorian.
And Book of Boba.
And Book of Boba.
Wow.
Yeah,
can you imagine that? There's a scene.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Major engagements.
She was part of the Phoenix Cell. She was obviously involved in the Alliance to Restore the Republic. She's part of the Alliance military. We see Hera. She's a general. So, of course, she's now essentially a military vehicle. She's involved in the New Republic Defence Force, the Rebel Alliance Navy, part of the Spectres, part of Phoenix Squadron, and the Citizens Fleet at the end of Rise of Skywalker. So, again, it's just a list of events and places she's been. But that vehicle is a key Star Wars location, if you like, because we're on board.
It's like we said before, when we did one of our first recordings, in fact I think it might have been the first one we did about the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
These ships are more important than just a ship. They become a character, yes, in their own right.
Yeah.
Just hearing that list of different events, if that was a person, they would have a chest of medals that would go down to their waist.
You see in Ahsoka, Hera pulled up in front of the,
which is great,
New Republic Council.
Yeah.
And they're kind of giving her a bit of a hard time, yeah, especially Ziono. Senator Ziono is really giving her a hard time.
Yeah.
And Mothma is kind of playing a bit cool and kind of gets where the whole 3PO thing with Leia's coming from. And
old 3PO saves the day.
Yeah. He certainly did, didn't he? And just giving enough rope to give her time to sort of fix it. Thought that was fantastically well done. But also, again, you look at this list, and I only read selected moments from that, the events and battles that the Ghost has been present for, which you have to assume Hera was there for pretty much all of,
yeah,
them. It's her ship. That captain, that pilot, and that ship together with Chopper specifically, it's not only iconic to us as Star Wars fans, but in that rebellion or Republic now, yeah, you would think they owe a debt that be tough to repay, and yet they seem to want her out of the way.
We've got the potential, because of the time frame that this is set in, we could see the Ghost and the Falcon going out and doing something together.
Wouldn't that be just the best?
That'd be brilliant. But going back to this sort of almost court-martialing sort, yeah, of proceedings that was happening to Hera, they stitched that guy up. What was the name of the...
Ziona.
He was basically, you know, shut up, mate.
He had no comeback.
You got no comeback after, yeah, that, and you could see it, couldn't you?
Hi, this is Ethan Sachs, and you're listening to FanthaTrax.
Crew compliment.
The vehicle's had some fantastic crew members, of which we know from past episodes of Rebels, of course, Kanan Jarrus, the late Kanan Jarrus, C-110P Chopper, Zeb,
yeah,
Gareth Aurelius, Sabine, of course, Ezra, who we've just found again in that other galaxy. Captain Rex was a crew member for a while. Alexander Callus.
Callus was on there towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Martin's alter ego. Wolf, of course, another clone. Cicatro Visargo, the Deveronian character,
yes,
from early on in
yep,
Rebels, he yep, was there. And Jason Syndulla, who, of course, has come back into,
yeah,
Ahsoka. So,
yeah,
so that vehicle has had some fantastic crew members on,
yeah,
board.
What happened to Kallus in the end? Is he still alive? He went off with Zeb, didn't
they
he?
They went off together, and they, well, of course, we saw Zeb at the end of season three Mando, yeah. But we've not really had any other explanation. It sounds like from what was said in the seventh episode of Ahsoka that Zeb is training.
Yes, I was just going to pick up on that. Yeah, so he's now in charge of training. So
you saw it in Mando season three where these ex-Imperials, some are trying to make a new start, and some are quite legit, like Jack Black's character.
Yes,
he's trying to be a part of this new Republic and be there. He's an ex-Imperial and he's clearly trying to do the right thing. And then you get other characters associated with Moff Gideon, for example. You see the Shadow Council, they've got their own sort of Senate, just like the Separatists had their own Senate back in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Waiting for Thrawn to come back, they'll be happy.
Yeah.
And you've got to think that some of them are trying to subvert. Clearly the First Order rises, Palpatine comes back, they do. It's a long game, but they do. But Kallus, yeah, we don't really know what's become of him.
There's even, dare I say it, potential that we could see Kanan, because it's all hinted at resurrection in that second galaxy.
Yeah.
We've seen them loading containers onto the ship ready to travel back to the galaxy that we're more familiar with.
Yeah.
And those containers could be reanimated dead people.
The Sith Eternal from the end of Rise of Skywalker. Ooh. All those thousands of people in that huge room. And where did they come from?
Yeah. Because let's face it, some of those later movies really need explaining better, don't they?
But don't you think, and I agree, they did, they really did. That being said, this is Star Wars, and they always leave gaps, either on purpose or just by design.
I think it's probably more on purpose these days.
Yeah.
It wasn't originally, but...
But yeah. With Disney Plus now, and the opportunity to tell live-action stuff and animation, and the novels are going great guns.
Gaps.
It's all there to be done, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think one of the greatest things that could happen to the sequel trilogy is for there to be a link between, you know, what's gone before.
Yeah.
Gideon, he could return, but he could be a clone of Gideon. Yeah. So there's all sorts of things that could come out of that. But to know that the ghost has been pivotal all this time, we can trace certainly from just before the Battle of Yavin. You know, in Rogue One, we see it in Rogue One. And then we've seen it all the way through to 6 years past Return of the Jedi. So it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And that's why the characters, whilst they've aged a little bit, they've not aged too much. Although Ezra, I mean, he needs to get rid of that beard. We need to see the youthful look.
See his face.
But it's been great to see how all the characters have been pulled back together. Different people join Star Wars at a different point in time. Depends when you're born, basically, when you first attach yourself to Star Wars.
Yeah.
So we've been to conventions where people have been absolutely mental about Rebels.
Yeah.
That has been their jump-on point, and that to them is their Star Wars. So for them to see this live-action stuff must be an absolute treat.
That's a great point in that if you came in on board with Rebels, and I'll give you an example, Young Jedi Adventures. To us grown-ups, it's a kid's show. To a lot of little kids coming into Star Wars, that's their first entry. So any ship in that show is their Falcon. Any lead character like Kai is their Luke. And so anybody coming in now, if you come into Rebels, it's 10 years old next year. So Marvel have just announced all those gorgeous covers, the variant covers. So big celebration next year for Rebels. No Star Wars celebration, sadly, but hopefully there'll be plenty of celebrations for Rebels. Yeah. Certainly deserves it, especially now with what's happening in Ahsoka and other shows. And going forward, you imagine now the crew's out there and created in live action. We've got options. But a lot of people, if you're 20 now, you were 10 back then, and 10's a great age to get into Star Wars.
Yeah.
So a lot of those people, the Falcon for us is the ghost for them.
Exactly.
So this episode, being able to drill into it a little bit and just give a good vibe for what an important ship it is.
Probably why it sold so well as a HasLab as well.
Oh, totally.
Because the kids that would have first enjoyed that ship are now at an age where they can perhaps afford to buy that.
And beautifully designed again, just wonderfully designed ship, a multi-purpose. Yeah. You've got a great pilot. I mean, you see episodes of Rebels where Hera's flying, she flies the B-Wing, the Shantipole stuff, and all of that, you know, you realise, she can throw this big hunk of metal around.
She's
like Han can throw the Falcon.
Yeah.
But she can fly any... I'm looking at a B-Wing right now, it's right behind you. So, you know, she can throw things like that around at expert level. So to have a pilot that competent, and again to see her in Rebels, because Hera and the Ghost go together. You know, it's weird over the years. You always think Han and the Falcon, but then you kind of realise this time actually Lando and the Falcon's a pretty big deal as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was for me always Han and the Falcon, and then when I first saw Empire as a 10-year-old kid, felt quite bitter to see Lando flying off in the Falcon, especially wearing his clothes.
Yeah,
but then you get over the years we've seen different people piloting it. And it just reinforces the fact that the Falcon is a character in its own right.
Totally.
It isn't Han's ship. It belongs in its own right.
Yeah. That, just stepping aside from the Ghost for a moment, because the Ghost hasn't been abandoned like the Falcon was abandoned.
Exactly. It's still Hera's ship.
And found under a dust cloth on Jakku, you know.
Yeah.
So there's such a weird, interesting history of... It's like finding the Titanic in the desert, isn't it? You know, when you find the Falcon, it's a legendary vehicle that's not...
I suppose these days, when I do think of the Falcon, I do think of... the Falcon. Yeah. Whereas years ago, I would have automatically thought of Han and Chewie.
Yeah. I'm glad we've gone through the Ghost. What do you think the future for the Ghost would be, could be? Where do you think? Because goodness knows, the last time they released the HasLab, the blooming thing got blown up the week before. So let's not do that again.
Well, going back to what I said a few minutes ago about it would be lovely to see the Falcon and the Ghost together.
Yeah.
I think that'll probably get saved for the cinema screen.
Oh, the big movie.
The big movie that's coming out, yeah. Now, we've got the digital technology. If they choose not to recast Han, Luke and Leia, we've got the digital technology to at least put them in for a cameo or something.
Yeah.
I mean, look what they did at the start of Indy 5.
Indy 5, yeah.
I mean, I know Harrison's still alive to be able to do that, but still.
Yeah,
I think that's where we'll see those two ships working together, and that'll solidify not only the Ghost as being as important as the Falcon, but as being a major, major player in Star Wars. So, yeah, I can see those two working together. I hope they don't destroy the Falcon.
Don't say that.
Don't jinx that.
Thanks for listening to Start Your Engines. If you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit FanthaTracks.com and be sure to comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds at FanthaTracks. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the Fanthatracks intro and our Start Your Engines opening music, Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers, and of course, the data miners at Wikipedia. Remember to tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our FanthaTracks Radio Friday Night Rotation. It's every Friday night at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder and special episodes of Making Tracks, and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks.
Coming up next on FanthaTracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.